Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Your Peugeot car or van might benefit from a free software upgrade. For more information and to find out if this applies to your vehicle, call the lads in Slattery's Garage, puck on 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Gurmila Mahaga Pat, and welcome back to the final hour of Tip Today. Let's go back to Hogan Square in Cashel, just outside of the courthouse there. And Ali has some more guests. Ali, good morning to you.
Yeah, we're still outside the courthouse here this morning, and Sean is with us this morning. Sean, what's your reaction to that? I mean, it was over and done with in, I'd say, less than 2 minutes. What's your reaction?
I couldn't believe it. I didn't actually know what happened. I was waiting for it all to go on, and all the reporters were sitting there also, and then all of a sudden, bang. He just blew this thing straight out of the water, never consulted with anybody, and said, no, I'm putting this back to the 6th of June. Next case.
Now, I was talking to Matty McGrath and Niall Dennehy. They both said it was... Matty McGrath said if it was a game, it would be a draw. Is that how you would describe it?
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. I think you... All of us, I think, at this stage want it out of this scenario. So if it works for them, it works for me. So I can be left alone to live the rest of my life out in peace, and I'm happy with that.
But there's no foregone conclusion, really, to this. What happens now then? We apply for retention,
isn't it? We go back again with retention again and put this through, and then if they accept it, wonderful. If they don't, I'm back here again.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a kind of a waiting game. They're stretching it out even more. It's a poker face, I think, is the way we call it. So there where I am now.
How does it feel to be going home today?
I'm glad I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'll stick the kettle on, boy, and I'll say, right, that's it. At least I have a bit of breathing space now for a while again.
Yeah.
As I said to you earlier, I thought I was going away. Like, I thought they were adamant they were going to stick with this. And I was prepared for it. So now, stay of execution for another while. I'm away again. Oscar will be pleased to see me.
Absolutely.
I fed him this morning before I came out, so I said, now at least someone else will feed you for a few weeks.
Can I ask you finally, because I know everyone wants to talk to you, but how do you feel about the support you've gotten here today?
I think I couldn't say it's hard to put into words the way I feel about it. I realised in a very short period of time the amount of support that I had behind me, with yourselves, Tip FM, and all the other ones down the line. It's not just me, as I said, it's everybody. Like, so I've highlighted it, so good. If something good comes out of it, great.
Yeah.
I'm over the moon footed. But look, it's just a pity it had to be me. Yeah. But look, okay, I can go with it.
Yeah.
So far, so good. They can change the law on this. They
John,
have to at this stage.
Enjoy the day, and well done.
Great.
And we're glad it's good news
thanks
for you. Well done.
I might see you again, and I don't mean that in the bad way.
That's right, Sean. Thank you so much.
Right,
thanks.
No problem.
Local election candidate Tom Hennessy is with us as well. Tom, I know you were part of this campaign from early on. Are you happy with the result today?
Yeah, look, there's a big sense of relief around here. It was actually an emotional morning. Like, you saw yourself the local support, and there was also people that drove from Cork and Kilkenny to be here. But I think this is after striking a chord with most Irish people, because I think it's time now that those people in
Ali, we're just having some issues there with hearing you properly. Just since you moved, if you want to move back to where you were,
to get
Ali.
This far, it's a pity, Alison, that it has ended up here. But what it's after showing us is that the great community spirit here locally, and there can't be, like, this man provided a roof over his head. He worked hard all his life, paid his taxes, and you can't let cabins be fired up around the country with no planning and have one of our own born-bred and rare Tipperary men treated like this. So this has to change, and it can't get to this stage again.
Okay, Tom, thanks so much for talking to me this morning. Just to get more reaction to it, TD Martin Brown is also here with us today. Martin, what's your reaction to today's results?
It is good news that it gives another bit of leeway that we can try and resolve something, Alison. There's work going on in the background, as we said before, and Sean realises that, and we've been in touch with Sean on a constant basis. So look at the work that we as TDs and the councillors here are doing. That will continue, that we try and resolve this. It gives us, another 8 weeks now to try and help Sean, and that a good resolution comes out of this.
Yeah, it feels a lot more positive than it did this morning, which is nice.
Yeah, I listened to Sean going in this morning with the interview you done with him, and Sean was downbeat at that stage. But look at, he realised himself now that he's up, that upbeat is there, and there's still a way to go in this. And look, at if we can all sit down and get around the table and bang heads together, that there must be a resolution to this that will suit both sides at this stage. It's in the courts. But look, at Sean is happy that he's out getting that bit of leeway now again. Yeah. So the fight continues to try and resolve this for everybody.
I think what this case has highlighted is that he's not the only one in this predicament as well. And we spoke to even some of them who came to support Sean, who find themselves in the same situation. What do you think can be done at a government level to help people like Sean?
Look, there's thousands of people like Sean all around the country, and what needs to happen is that government needs to sit down and look at legislation and see whether you do it on a six-month basis, give people an opportunity to try and resolve it, or whether you bring in different legislation that these kind of homes can stay where they are. Look, that's us as public representatives at both local and national level. We need to be starting to beat that drum and yeah. a lot harder on behalf of the people that are stuck by that.
Yeah, Martin, thanks so much for talking to us this morning. Councillors Tony Black and Emery Reiner here as well. Tony, if I start with you, as everyone is saying, a good result?
Yeah, a great result. It gives Sean more time to, I suppose, try and find a resolution. It's, I suppose, it gives him a bit more hope as well that, you know, and the turnout here today really shows that people are behind him and want to see him get a positive resolution to this this case.
Has this case brought people to your door saying we may find ourselves in a similar position, or we are in a similar position, and what can we do? And this has frightened the life out of us.
Yeah, no, it's brought more people out of the woodwork that maybe, you know, hadn't come forward, that hadn't made themselves known, that are facing a very similar situation. And, you know, it is frightening to see so many people in dire straits. And it really does beggar the question, like, what are the government doing about it? And, you know, what's their next step? And how can we resolve these things where people aren't put on the street and people have a roof over their head? And that has to be our main aim out of all this, is to ensure that people keep roofs over their heads.
Yeah. Councillor Emery Ryan, I think it shouldn't have surprised me, but it did a little bit. The level of national attention and support that this case got, was that something that struck you?
I wasn't surprised. I suppose it's happening in every kind of corner of Ireland at the moment, and it's people like Sean, but it's also families and single people. And look, I'm dealing with so many like potential homeless cases that might not be in the same situation as Sean, but we have a national emergency on our hands, and I really think it's time the government called it an emergency. We've been calling it a housing crisis, but we need to enact legislation to ban or to kind of postpone any sort of evictions on kind of temporary structures for now, even if it's for, I don't know, like Martin said, 6 months or even longer. We have a housing crisis. We don't have alternatives for people. So until we find alternatives for people, you can't be evicting them. That's how I feel about it. And I mean, Sean is one of thousands, I think. And I think we also have a lot of hidden homeless. We've got people who are couch surfing. We've got people who are not actually figuring on the housing numbers that are actually in need of housing. So we have a major crisis on our hands, and I think Sean's case has actually magnified that.
Yeah. Martin, actually, could I finish just by asking you, because I think one of the big issues that Tip Today listeners and Tip FM listeners had was that this is something that is allowed and welcomed when it comes to bringing in Ukrainian refugees and IPAs, but isn't welcome for our own people. That was a big issue, I think, that people have relating to this case. Is that something you understand?
Look, at Alison, these issues were there long before the Ukrainian families started coming in. These are issues that this government and previous governments have failed to tackle. Just over 2 years ago now that they said that they were having centres built, there is not one block laid. And I would ask people, look, at this is about Sean himself, but lay the blame where it actually deserves to be laid. That's on government, the present government and previous governments that have done absolutely nothing to resolve the homeless crisis in this country. And until we have a change of government, and I'm calling an election, let someone else that has ideas of how to solve this issue, we will have these issues again. But look at where Sean and thousands find themselves, is because of governments, not because of Ukrainian refugees coming into our country.
Okay, Martin, lovely to talk to you today. Martin Brown, Councillor Emery Ryan, Councillor Tony Black, thank you all for talking to us today. So that's it from outside Cashel. A crowd still remaining here. I'd say about 30 people still remaining, and has to be said, I think, a very relieved and almost celebratory mood, I think, among the crowd today. Everyone delighted, of course, that they're not seeing Sean Meehan going off in a prison van to prison today, that he is, in fact, going to go home to New Inn today. So from Cashel, back to you in studio.
Thanks very much indeed, Ellie, for that. That's our own Alison there reporting from the courthouse in Cashel today, and that what seems to me to be a very sensible decision indeed from the justice there in Cashel with that adjournment until June of Sean's case. 1800 938 007. Time now for a health slot. Delighted to be joined as usual in the studio by Muriel Cuddy from Marito 8020, the clinic in Clonmel. Good morning to you, Muriel.
Morning,
how are
friend.
You today?
Do you know, it's nice to do something lighter, isn't it?
Isn't it just? Isn't
yeah.
it? Particularly this morning.
Yeah.
It's been a difficult one for sure. Yeah, a lot of difficult stories out there though, Muriel.
Totally. It's lovely to hear Sean's story there because, yeah, a little bit of common sense.
A little bit
it's
of
like
common sense.
Doesn't seem to be a lot of that around lately, so yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. You have my badly written list in front of you of my diet.
I can read it though.
Few. Can you?
Yeah, I can read it. And there's not loads of things on it, so that's that's good, like as a starter or whatever, you know. Do you want me to go through it?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Do you want to work backwards from
So if we go backwards, say from Easter Sunday even, right?
Yeah.
You would know Easter egg and Easter Sunday, Fran.
Well, I didn't because I was sort of travelling on Easter Sunday. But I made up for it since.
Well, it's not that. You know Easter egg, which I'm delighted about, and you didn't eat enough on Easter Sunday. Like, you had your beef dinner, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
You hadn't enough at all. Like, so it's surprising that you didn't, like, way overdo it in the evening time when you actually sat down. I can't believe after all I've told you, though, that you had a croissant for breakfast.
I did, but it was I was kind of in the airport and I didn't have much.
But there are
option.
Places in the airport that you could kind of sit down and get a salad or get a whatever.
I know, but I needed something quick and I had a big, huge coffee with it and all of
that.
Well,
that's really, for me, the one piece of when you start the day, you see, if you can start it with something decent,
of course,
at least the day is going to be okay.
Talk to me about croissants. Is that a real baddie?
Oh, they're so full of saturated fat.
Are
they? There's nothing at all in them. And what I'd be worried about is, like, when you have that to start the day, you're starting in sugar and then you had your coffee, so your adrenaline's, you're driving everything cracked. So I would be thinking when you're coming down the road, if you're driving, like within 2 hours, if you're not going to have another coffee or within an hour and a half, you're tired, like your eyes are starting to close, or you need something to bring you back again. So, like, that's the piece for me. If you're eating the wrong foods and the wrong stimulants when you're on the road, you're going to have that like blood sugar drop or whatever at some stage.
Right.
And that's when the eyes close and you feel like you need to get out and jump around the place.
The notion of the beef dinner now was a very good quality one because it was in that lovely Willie Crowe's lovely restaurant in Palace Green. So it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
But, I mean, beef, you have a bit of
No, I don't like red meat. For me, is twice a week, and there's two things. Red meat, the level of saturated fat. Okay, so that'll drive up inflammation within the body. The other thing is, a lot of people that I'm seeing have the gut issues. When they have gut issues, you've maldigestion issues, which means you can't break down your food properly. And meat is one of the things that you can't break down. So if that's there, you're not able to digest it as well as you normally would be. So your beef dinner, like, if the gravy's kind of on the side, if you're having roast buds with it, and they're done in like a goose fat or whatever, you like, that's what adds to it. So it's not, if you have a beef dinner at home and it's cooked properly, so it's cooked for 7 or 8 hours, you have your gravy and it's done properly and you have like one or two proper potatoes with it, you're good, you're fine. It's when we like take out the pound of butter and you have half a pound of butter on top of that and you have butter in your veg and all of that. It's the additions that we add to it. The sensible eating for me is perfect. Like, just do the normal sensible eating. But like, you had a proper dinner and you were full for the evening. So you didn't eat again afterwards. So that to me is perfect. So I don't really mind what's on your dinner. There aren't any intolerance issues. We're not dealing like with things like acid reflux and pain in your head and bloating and constipation and diarrhea. We're just dealing with you getting your diet right so that you have the energy to get through every day, etc. You know, and being well. That's the biggest thing.
And it's interesting though with the cut of me that there's not a huge amount of food there, is there?
The cut of me.
I mean, there's really
You're not eating enough at all. So for me, it's actually, you're not eating enough. And then when you do eat, you're giving yourself more a quick release of energy, really. So you're getting a quick release and then you're too busy. So your mind is gone then from food again before you think of food.
Right.
And then the next time you eat again, a lot of the time it's a quick release of energy. Like, your dinners each day were really good, like cottage pie. Good old-fashioned mammy dinner, you can never go wrong with it. Like, your chicken and rice with tomato sauce, you can never go wrong with it.
Yeah.
It's outside of that, like a breakfast biscuit is a quick release of energy. And that's what you seem to go for early morning. Cornflakes, yes, they're a better choice than a breakfast biscuit, but again, you're getting a quicker release of energy.
Are they? Even just cornflakes would be a better option than those.
Your breakfast biscuits are going to have.
Those biscuits I'm talking about, they're very highly recommended. I mean, they're oats and they're...
I'd like to see the ingredients in the back, but there has to be a binder. So I don't know, is it a maple syrup or a glucose or something along those lines?
Oh, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Is it?
In fact,
yes. And there's probably like a sunflower oil or a palm oil or something like that in it as well. So the binders in it will be either like saturated fat or sugar.
So they're the problem.
So, like, you just need whole food. So for your breakfast in the morning, you're starting your day wrong. Like, your blood sugars rise at night. They're very low in the morning when you wake up. And you're putting sugar in the minute you get up, which means you're starting the day off on the roller coaster straight away.
Yes.
So you're going to rise your blood sugars very fast. By the time you come to studio here, then you're going to need something else.
Does it concern you, Muriel, that we're completely misled? I mean, I thought that that option that I had with those particular, I won't name the brand, that particular brand, which is a very expensive brand, by the way, that it was okay.
It's driving me insane. I've had it all week and I'm only in clinic since Tuesday. So today's only Thursday, right? So all week, the same message is coming at me the whole time with people giving me their food diaries or whatever. I thought I was doing okay. I thought that was fine. Mm. But it actually said that that was okay. And I've put two or three pieces up on social media, like in relation to Easter eggs and different things. And people have come back and said, Muriel, thanks. I didn't know the difference. I didn't know whatever.
Yes.
So there's so much out there now. And people are bombarded with things to be perceived to make them become healthier.
Yes.
So we're told, like, you know, eat this and it'll make you healthier. You need to walk and make that. And the depression side is there and you need omega-3s. We're being told. So then somebody will say, splash omega-3s across the front of something and say, this is full of omega-3s. And it clicks with you. Omega-3s, okay, that's going to go with this, so I'm going to eat that. Somebody said to me the other day, beetroot. Somewhere along the way, she was told beetroot was bad for her. Right, I said to her, are you intolerant? She said, no, I'm not. And she said, I haven't eaten it in 10 years. And I said, why haven't you eaten it? She said, because I read it somewhere that somebody said beetroot wasn't good for me. So I haven't had it since. And somebody else said to me, I haven't had avocado because my husband won't leave it into the house because somebody told him it's high in, like, so much fat, you can't have it.
So misinformation, disinformation, all the time.
The whole way across the line, literally.
Is there anything I can go, can I go into a shop and buy anything that looks like a bar that will be healthy for me? And I'm just thinking that people like me running in the mornings and all that. There's one
bar that I like, but it's not a breakfast bar. But if I was to have a bar in between, like a Kind bar. So the Kind bars have like nuts and dark chocolate. And there's not a lot of ingredients in them. I think there's 7 or 8 ingredients in
them. Kind, is that what
kind,
it's called?
Kind, yeah. That's K-I-N-D?
What's
yeah, K-I-N-D. But the nuts are in it. But you know, the Kind bar is probably very similar to your normal bar of dairy milk with whole nut. So if you were looking for a bar that you want to give you a hit of proper sugar, etc., at least you have the essential fat in the nuts and you only have 5 or 6 ingredients in that bar of chocolate. So you know what's in it. It's like cream, you know, sugar,
etc. But it's still not ideal.
If I was to say to somebody if they wanted something, I know you're not gone dark chocolate, but like dark chocolate and nuts for me, if you were to have both of them together, you're not doing too bad. At least your dark chocolate is full of, you know, your antioxidants, etc. And your nuts are going to stop any of the blood sugar cravings and the rises and dips. So if you want to walk in and get something at the counter, that's what you'd be better off getting.
But other than that, Weetabix porridge.
Yeah, or like even if you're walking into a deli, like the normal chicken, like ordinary chicken even, or like get normal brown bread. Like just pick up a thing of brown bread and bring it over to them. And even if you say to them, listen, can you put whatever, mayonnaise or relish on that and put some chicken and eggs and whatever in the middle of it. Like then you have a proper sandwich and you're going to be full for the next few hours, you know. But it's just normal food. That's what we're looking at.
Why do you think, because you were telling me off air that our conversation last time around resonated with so many people, why do you think listening to a Meow talking about his diet resonated with people?
Because I think it's real. And I think we're all Meows. I think, like, you're not on your own there. I think it's every single one of us. And I think, like I said, everyone coming into me, nobody knows what to do. So Easter happened, right? And why the piece I was doing today was on cravings or is on cravings is because people have said to me, Muriel, how do I flick the switch and how do I stop? So when I actually start eating the sugar on Sunday, and I had a girl in yesterday and she does everything so perfectly. And she said to me, I really went off track. Mother's Day, Paddy's Day, Easter. Muriel, I'm gone. I just can't get myself back. Now, when I looked at what she was eating, she wasn't gone off track. She went off track those 3 days. And those 3 days, she had a dinner out. She had a Chinese takeaway. And she said, at the end of it, she said, ate all the Easter eggs everywhere and stayed eating them on Monday and on Tuesday or whatever. Yes. I couldn't stop when I started or whatever. So that's why I put my piece together today, because you're not the meow. It's the amount of food and it's the mixed messages and it's the busy life and it's the stress and it's us trying to get it right. And we're not able. Does that make sense?
And I'm delighted you're talking about craving, because people with a relatively healthy lifestyle, if you say, oh, I crave sugar, I don't think they understand how profound that craving can be.
Yeah. And, you know, a craving is driven by your brain.
Yes.
So it's you're looking for a reward. It's not driven by hunger. So it's not driven by your body.
Good
so
point.
Like it's two different things, you know. And like sometimes you crave something and like say go, I would say to somebody, go and eat a decent dinner, go and eat something. And a lot of the time the craving will go, or a lot of the time it can be dehydration and you're thirsty and you drink and your craving will go. And you can do the counting up to whatever it is, 15, and go for a walk and your craving will go. Other times the craving just doesn't go. You know, it just won't go. And now there's a number of different things, as in you can be deficient in different things with different cravings, and I can run through them.
Yes, please.
But I will say to people, if your craving doesn't go, go and have it. There was one of the girls on Tuesday. She had eaten all the Easter eggs over the weekend, and all day long she drove me demented. I need an Easter egg. I want an Easter egg. I need one more Easter egg. And every time she came in to me, I said, will you just feck off, please? You're driving me insane. We ended up leaving after work and we went to Tesco. We went to Super Value and actually the eggs were all gone. So we drove across to Tesco. And we bought two big Lindor eggs. And she got into bed with her egg. I got a pitcher and a cup of tea. And she had her egg. She came in the next day and she said, my craving is gone. She said, I had my egg and my craving is gone. So sometimes it doesn't go. If it's in your head and you have to have it, like me with my taco chip. Right. If it's in my head and I have to have it, once I have it, then I'm done and that's gone. But if the craving is continuous, so say if you're craving something like salt, it can be electrolytes. It can be dehydration. It can even be stress, you know. So like more foods than like your B vitamins, like your nuts and your seeds and whole grains, fruit and veg and like things like that will eliminate that. Electrolytes is a big piece there. And I'm actually finding a lot of people aren't, they're dehydrated because they're not retaining the water. So if you're not retaining the water, maybe your electrolyte balance is off and you need to look at something like your Himalayan salt, you know, the pinch of it I was talking about, or your dioralite or something like that. If you're craving chocolate, so this one, Fran, so you resonate with this one. So you might be deficient in magnesium, chromium or your B vitamins. This is one I see a lot, and I do and you know I'm not into supplements because I try and do what I can from with your food, but I will supplement with magnesium and I will supplement with chromium. If somebody's blood sugars aren't stable, that's one I'll do straight away to try and stabilise them, to give them a hand while we're trying to get the other pieces right.
Well, I remember years ago, because sometimes I take stuff and it means nothing to me at all or it's completely ineffective, but I found chromium for cravings extremely helpful.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like I said, the only two that I've, and zinc is another one, but I find they work for people. Now, if you're deficient in chromium, it can be that you don't have enough protein in your diet or proper sources of protein in your diet. So maybe even the chicken you're getting isn't the right chicken. Do you know what I mean? Maybe like it might be hormone pumped or something along those lines. But if you have really decent, good protein, like your good meat and fish, etc., you mightn't be, or you might have a good chance of not being deficient in chromium. The other thing I'm finding lately is, and again, if you're craving chocolate, you're certain serotonin levels can be low mood, so that's why you want more chocolate. But I'm finding with supplementation and people, there's a malabsorption piece. Like I said about you mightn't be able to digest the beef or the meat or whatever. I'm finding we're not absorbing what we're taking in from our foods because of the gut-related issues. So because, first of all, so many of our foods are processed or ultra-processed, there's nothing in them. Secondly, the food that we're buying, say, on the shelf or whatever, so say like the fruit and veg and that kind of thing, we expect it to have the minerals and it doesn't have them. So it's not like your organic veg, but it has everything. Say years ago, if I pulled whatever out of the ground, like I used to eat scallions literally years ago. I loved them and I'd eat them as we were thin and whatever we were supposed to be doing anyway. But I remember eating them and the clay and everything, it never bothered you. You cleaned it and you ate it. Strawberries from the ditch, you ate. They had the minerals. Like the minerals is in the soil. That's where it's supposed to be. But it's not in the soil anymore. So we're deficient in so many things now that we would automatically have had years ago. And now because of the ultra-processed food we're eating, we don't absorb. The malabsorption piece is there within the gut. So it's very hard for us to feel well, isn't it? You know, so like you'd be asking like why there's a low mood, why I'm craving different things. Because you're deficient in different things, it's automatic that you're going to crave what the body needs, you know, and it's not getting it from the natural sources. You know,
it's incredible, isn't it? And so and it's always back to basics of the simple.
Well, like there's different things, like, you know, if you're craving protein. So like say like somebody said, I'd love a big steak or I'd love chicken or something along those lines. There's outward signs of that as well. Like so say like brittle hair and nails, your muscle mass, you know, so like if you actually feel that you're getting weaker or whatever, like that again can be a deficiency in something and you can be craving something as a result of it. So I keep saying the whole time, the body shouts at us. So there's outwardly signs, but we don't listen. And sometimes I suppose because we're too stressed, we find it hard to take a step back to come forward. And it's often taking that step back. And I know I'm probably the biggest culprit, and anyone that knows me that's listening, so Muriel, take your own advice. But it's often even taking a step back, even for a day, if it's a day a month, of saying, right, okay, I know I'm going wrong. Where am I going wrong? What can I do? And if that's like sitting down saying, right, all these things are wrong, can I actually start writing down my food, or can I go and do a decent shop for the week and put in the foods that they've heard me talking about, which is all the same foods the whole time. So the rocket science piece isn't there. It's the same foods, proper mammy dinners, proper salad soup lunches, proper brown bread, proper porridge Weetabix, any fruit in abundance. Like people say to me, Muriel, you said this fruit was bad. A woman said to me the other day, her husband said, I'm not eating that banana anymore. Muriel said bananas were high in sugar. Now she said, Muriel eats chocolate for breakfast, lunch and dinner. But he, because you said the banana was bad, he's given up the banana, but the chocolate is still there.
Yes.
Listen, guys, all fruits are good.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as a bad fruit or a bad vegetable. But if there are issues there, as in relation to your sugar, blood sugars are you know, roller coastering, your gut issues, etc., then we remove the high sugar fruits for a while, the ones that have the fructose, the os on the end of it. But all fruits are good. Okay, so just don't go down that road. Yeah.
But overdoing it on bananas or something.
Well, they're high sugar fruit. Yeah, okay. But like if you only have three meals a day, and your banana and your brown bread is part of your lunch, your banana and your brown bread is a super lunch for you.
Right.
Okay, so like, yeah, don't be worrying. If you're doing a lot of going, a lot of exercise, bananas are brilliant. For younger kids to get food into them, bananas are brilliant. But bananas and grapes are high sugar. So, yeah, if you have a problem stabilising.
Does the craving go away after a while if you address it in the way that you're talking about, like either with chromium or zinc or magnesium?
All the time with me, the cravings, if somebody has a continuous craving, so every single, say, evening time, cravings can come and go. Sometimes, say, like, you might crave bread if you pass the bakery.
Mm.
You know, you might crave popcorn if you pass the cinema, or if you're going to the cinema, because it's associated with the feel-good.
Yes, or you smell something gorgeous.
Yes, and the memories come and it entices something. But if you have a craving that you just can't knock on the head for some reason or another, so every day you say, I'm not having chocolate today, I'm not having sugar, but by 11 o'clock you are literally hanging that you have to get sugar, and you have the pain in your head and whatever, that's coming from somewhere. So to me, that's a deficiency in something within the body, so we have to fix that, because that shouldn't be there every day. Like cravings, if you go for a walk or if you do something, your odd cravings, or like me, if I have my taco chip, that's my craving gone, and I'm okay again then for like my week or fortnight or whatever it is until I need to have it again. So I'm not deficient in anything. But if I needed sugar every single day and I had to have it like two or three times a day, then my chromium levels are low, my blood sugars are off. There's something wrong there that means I'm looking for that all the time. And you can write by it.
It's interesting, but the whole emotional aspect to it then, I mean, if you're filling a gap,
that's totally different.
That's totally different.
Like, and that can affect your sleep, and that can affect all the other sides of it as well, you know. And like they say, you're supposed to, what did they say? Surf, isn't it? Surf urge? One of those things that you're supposed to ride the wave.
Mm.
So you're like blood sugars up and down or whatever, that you ride it out and eventually you will be okay or whatever. But again, it's the same thing, Fran. Stress, all of that is one of the pieces that causes the cravings on the other side, because you're trying to, say, your glass of wine at night. You think you crave the glass of wine at night. It isn't you're craving the glass of wine at night. You're craving what the wine is doing. So the wine is releasing tension. It's bringing you back down.
It's comfort,
letting you relax.
In some way, yes.
And for some people it's chocolate. For some people it's a cup of tea. You know, but it's actually, again, the stress piece of when we come in the evening time, we need to switch off, we need to relax. We're not giving ourselves the opportunity to do it. So we take a stimulant, which is a stimulant that gives us a quick release. So the wine will only, and it's only the first glass of wine that'll give you that release, or the first few squares of chocolate. After that, you've gone into the abyss then of the second glass of wine, means you've gone below where you need to. It doesn't taste as nice. You don't feel as good. By the third glass of wine, you're miserable. You go to bed and you're awake by 2 o'clock. So you've intermittent sleep, and then you wake up the next morning miserable. So you don't get what you feel you need, and the same with your chocolate. Your blood sugars will rise because you're eating it in the evening time, and then they're too high by 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, so they'll wake you. So what we think we're doing is good to bring us down only gives us a temporary release.
Okay, give me a plan then for tomorrow, considering how I've behaved over the last few days, and it was a particularly difficult time because chocolate was everywhere, of course, with the chocolate eggs and all of that.
You've done really well with the Easter eggs.
Right.
Like, you didn't have, like, for you that loves chocolate, Fran, like...
Normally I'd have 5 or 6 of them.
Yeah, there's very little. And there's very little food, actually, so you haven't eaten enough at all.
Yeah, is that a... That's
I would
a problem.
Feel that your gut is... I would feel your metabolism has switched off completely. I actually feel like you're not eating enough food here. Like, even if you wanted to lose weight and be well or whatever, there isn't enough coming in.
Right.
So there isn't enough coming in, and there isn't enough good stuff coming in. So you've done very well, as in you've only eaten two or three times a day, but you're not eating enough. So your dinners I'm absolutely fine with. Chicken and rice, tomato sauce, fine. Your cottage pie is fine. Your beef dinner is fine. You've got to get your breakfast right. So for me, breakfast would be go and buy your bread this evening, your brown bread, if it's not at home already, and have something as simple tomorrow morning as your brown bread and even a banana coming out the door.
Okay.
You're fine straight away then. And then your lunch should be something, whatever. Again, even if it's your brown bread, some chicken salad, tuna, anything at all that's handy with it. And I don't mind then if you have your bar in between. So if you need your chocolate fix, have your chocolate fix, because once you know it's coming and you're having it, you can sit and you can enjoy it. But you won't want it as much if you eat your proper breakfast. And I'm not worried about your Weet-Bix and porridge. Your proper lunch, include a good fat in your lunch. So include, like, if it's not fish, have an egg. Have a little bit. I know you don't like avocado, but if you're not having a good fat in your lunch, would you have a couple of nuts afterwards even? Anything like that. And that's stabilising your blood sugars for you, right?
Yes.
And then have your dinner in the evening time. And if you want to keep your treat, when you sit down later on at night, sit down and have your glass of wine or your cup of tea and your bit of dark chocolate. That's the problem area, you see, for me then, as in when I say to people, you can sit down and have your glass of wine, it's if you can have the glass of wine and put the cork back into it and put the bottle away, you're doing very well. But I don't even see any alcohol here. So I think you've done very well in the last 3 days.
Yeah, just by accident now, more than design. I hasten to.
But you know what? The habits are starting.
Yeah.
So even though it might be by accident rather than design, if you can keep it going, you're doing very well.
Well, I'm avoiding the dreaded Red Bull, which is probably...
Yeah, no, I think you're doing really well. And like the things that you're avoiding will help your metabolism switch on again. Because the ultra-processed stuff that was going in was like putting salt into an open wound.
Yeah.
So like you're starting to take away the salt, so the wound is starting to heal, which is your gut, so that'll switch you on.
It's a constant sort of job though, isn't it? I mean, you have to be vigilant about it.
You do have to be vigilant.
It's easy to slip.
It is, but when you start feeling better, you don't want to go backwards.
Right,
so I find with people, when we do eventually get this to 80%, because I never expect anyone to get 100, but when we get it to 80% and they do start feeling good, when they put something back in, they're so miserable. So they get 24 hours or they might get...
And when people come into you, Muriel, is it quite... Is it like we're chatting here?
Totally.
Right, okay.
Totally.
Because sometimes I fear that people might think they go into Muriel, she's looking great herself and she's going to judge me.
Yeah, no. For me, it's building the relationship first and it's listening to somebody first.
Right.
And I even had a person in yesterday that's been in 3 times to me and I didn't feel he was able to do it, what we were doing, and we had to have a very honest conversation in relation to, he said, listen to you on the radio, Muriel, it was brilliant, but I don't feel any better. I'm not coming to, whatever. And then he outlined what he was doing and I said, but you're not doing what I asked you to do. So when you come into me, I'll build a relationship, I'll do all the listen to you and I'll have the chat and everything, but I'm very honest, or black and white, that there a spade is a spade, Fran. So I'll ask you what to do or I'll give you help and I'll support you or whatever. But if 2 or 3 sessions in, you're not able to do it for some reason or another, that your world isn't in the right place, then I have to say, listen, just let's leave it be and come back when you are ready. But for 90 or 95% of people, they're ready. And once they realise that I'm there to help them and I'm there to give them the education piece, we were flying then after that. But it's a chat. It's always a chat.
One of our listeners is like a devil out there and encouraging me into bad ways. It says, Fran, I got a cronut in New York recently. A cronut is a mixture of a croissant and a donut. It was absolutely delicious, says this listener. Surely that has to be good for me. Go on, burst his bubble.
Yeah.
You might as well.
That's just a load of whatever. But listen, can I say...
You can't dismiss a listener who loves his goodies.
It does sound
like
my youngest fella loves donuts and I just, it kills me. Like, and he goes, you can go.
Is apple cider vinegar good to take, Muriel?
Oh, brilliant. You know, if you're craving vinegar or anything like that, your digestive acids in your stomach are probably low. So apple cider vinegar is fantastic for that. Your vitamin D is also really good for it.
It's absolutely horrible.
It depends what you take to it. I would put it with extra virgin olive oil and put maybe turmeric and black pepper and use it as a salad dressing. So you don't even have to take it then by the spoon. Can I say chewing gum? So many people eat chewing gum and you know the way it's stuck everywhere. Don't really eat chewing gum if you want to take away a craving. I don't like chewing gum. Chewing gum, especially the ones that are sugar free, they tell your stomach, they tell your gut that food is coming because of the artificial sweetener. So if anybody's putting sweetener in their tea or, you know, your diet drinks or whatever, you're trying to tell it it's getting something and you give it nothing. And then you're starving afterwards. So if you're using chewing gum to kill a craving, the minute you take out the gum, the craving is still going to be there. So it's not going to work.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Marion in Bursacane says a big juicy steak, Fran. That's just to tease me here.
Yeah, but that's perfect. Like, I'd like a big juicy steak with your jacobitation.
Yeah, but you're going to spoil it all because you're saying don't have the pepper sauce with it.
But you can't drown it in it. But you can have a little, but you don't drown it in it, yeah. Okay. So that's like,
I'm a carnivore, eggs, meat, cheese, protein, few carbs, no sugar. I have perfect health, never get sick, and I'm 60 years old. So that, I mean, sure, that diet.
That's the old-fashioned diet. Yeah. Like, I met a man the other day and he's 96. And he was telling me, yeah, like his breakfast in the morning, I think all his life was porridge. His lunch during the day was always a bowl of soup and his brown bread or whatever.
Yeah.
And his dinner was every day different bacon, cabbage, whatever it was every day. And his treat was his rich tea biscuits. And he's still doing the same thing.
There you go. I'm jealous. If people want to talk to you, Muriel, how can they do that?
So it's 052-614-8881 or www.marito8020.com.
All right. Great to see you, Muriel. Thanks very much indeed. We'll take a break, back with more.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.